Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today we're speaking with Mr. Kyle Hagerty, the Managing Director at Leadership Nomad, a training and consulting firm that helps teams improve how they communicate and grow into foreign markets, even during an economic downturn. Mr. Hagerty, thanks for joining us here today on the program.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
And you're more than welcome. So tell us, what is a seagull and how can people avoid becoming seagulls, if you will, when they work with overseas colleagues? Let's begin things today with that question.
So seagulls are a phrase, it's kind of a fun phrase, but they're basically foreign managers or foreigners that can be from anywhere who come into local markets and they don't really understand things. They are very more disruptive, or they cause more problems than they solve. And we call them seagulls because seagulls are these big, goofy birds who come flying in from out of nowhere. They make a mess. They crap all over the place, and then they fly away. And in the modern work world, maybe we're not flying around anymore, but certainly in a global business setting where people are managing multiple regions, you get this type of seagull mentality where people can swoop in from out of nowhere without really knowing the local context, make this giant mess, and then they're just gone. This happens quite frequently.
And I definitely appreciate the example, most helpful as well. Now, what advice would you give to someone new to working with people from different markets around the globe?
So, yeah, and oftentimes what happens is that people accidentally turn into seagulls, right? They don't really know what they're doing. So to me, the first step here is trying to drive that awareness. It's just being self-aware that the markets in different parts of the world behave differently than what you might be used to. Not only do markets behave differently, but people do as well. So it's about thinking about who are you, what are your working styles, what are you used to, and then figuring out ways to adjust to it. So that's where you get into that second step, which is how do you go down a path where you start building what we call a global mindset, which is getting to the point where you're able to acknowledge the fact that things aren't done the same way in different parts of the world. My first bit of advice to people who are starting to work in new markets or with new teams is to slow down to the point where you're actually think about, you almost think about it going backwards. And what I mean by that is, oftentimes if you start a new relationship, even if it's a virtual one with different teammates, you do a little bonding and you do a little bit of rapport building. If it's you and I and we're from the same part of the world, we can talk about sports teams and talk about where we're from and find those commonalities. It's harder to find those commonalities when you're talking to somebody from 10,000 miles away. So what I mean by going backwards is you want to actually come up with a series of additional questions that can help bridge some of those larger gaps. You might not be able to talk about your favorite baseball team, or you might not even be able to kind of have a joking conversation about, I don't know, some local thing it hit me a couple of years ago. We were talking about that Deflategate, the Tom Brady situation with New England Patriots. And I was having this connection with this guy out of Denver, and we were talking about the NFL, and that we'd never spoken before. On the call with us was somebody else from India, and he was staying very quiet because he had no idea what we were talking about. Now, if you think about the three of us, me and this guy in Denver on this call had a connection. We had similarities. We felt more comfortable together. The outsider was this guy from India because we didn't have that initial bridge. How do you build that bridge? You take a step back. You ask additional questions. Maybe it's not sports related. Maybe it's about food. Maybe it's spending extra effort to get to know the people that are further away. And it does take longer. And that's why I say you've got to slow down and be willing to take more time to get that stuff done. So that that's my long-winded answer of saying that's how I would think about building these relationships in different ways when you're talking about teams in different parts of the world.
And most certainly makes a lot of sense. Thanks for your input there. Now, can you talk a little bit about the cross-cultural data that exists and how it can help companies and people improve how they work across regions?
Well, so I've been doing this stuff for a long time now, and I've been working overseas for about 15 years. And you pick up experiences, you pick up bits and pieces here. And I wrote this book about it, The Accidental Business Nomad. So that's the book that has just come out. And the book starts out by kind of scraping around, trying to figure out how do you work across these different cultures. What are these weird invisible things that get in the way? And along the journey, I discovered that there are decades of research that's been done that looks at exactly what I'm talking about, these invisible differences, how people communicate in different ways, how people handle confrontation, how people view management structures, how people build relationships, how people handle time. And all of these decades of work that's been done actually measures these types of things across the planet. And if you can measure this kind of stuff, you can start to manage it. So while I'm not a researcher, this is not my data, it's out there. And it's a lot of people just don't know it's out there. It's not the easiest data to digest. So that's what I'm trying to do here, which is to say, look, I've spent all the time digging into this stuff. Here's how we can look at this data to better get a faster idea of where you sit on all of these different spectrums, these different invisible working styles. Here's where your colleagues might sit. Here's where your clients might sit. Let's look at these gaps and see if we can come up with ways to bridge that faster. So I find that using this type of cross-cultural data is a wonderful way to fast-track getting people ready to work with global teams.
What a valuable resource that book would be to have in your possession, especially with all the expertise and knowledge you've gained with many years doing what you do today. We're joined by Mr. Kyle Hagerty, the Managing Director at Leadership Nomad, a training and consulting firm that helps teams improve how they communicate and grow into foreign markets, even during an economic downturn. He's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, I understand you work with a number of sales teams. How does sales get impacted by cross-cultural differences?
Yeah, the last 15 years or so, a big part of what I do is helping companies from a sales and marketing standpoint figure out how they're going to expand into new markets. Now, in a sales context, what you find out is that a lot of the things that we've been taught, a lot of sales training, a lot of sales methodology is created in the U.S. or in Western markets. And there's some cultural assumptions that come along with that. One of those assumptions is that there's not that much of a hierarchy involved. What I mean by that is that a sales guy can walk into a client and they can have a hopefully adult to adult, relatively honest conversation. They can call each other by their first names, and there's certain rules of etiquette where you ask a question, you can get an answer. That's one example in the U.S. for how that happens. In other cases, you could also be more direct in terms of how you communicate. So in the U.S., we're pretty direct communicators. We go back and forth. We get to the point relatively fast. But here's the thing. In about 70% of the planet, that's not how people communicate. There are stronger hierarchies at play. There is more indirect communication going on. And so what happens is you get these trainings, and we'll use sales as one example, but any type of management training is the same way. You get these trainings that have been created in say, the U.S., making these cultural assumptions about a low hierarchy or direct communication, and then you try to apply it into other markets in the world where it's really just the opposite. You can't have a young salesperson walk into the office of a senior person and have that conversation go the same way. You can't ask for direct questions in the same way. You can't always get a no in the same way in different parts of the world. So one of the things that I've found is that you've got to take local cultures and approaches into your planning as you build out your strategy. So from a sales standpoint, what we do is we say, okay, look, you can actually take a methodology that works in the U.S., but this is exactly where you've got to localize it. And that takes some work and some effort and some open-mindedness, but you can end up, and that's what I like to do, is you take a universal standard methodology, but then you localize the heck out of it to make it as effective as possible in these different markets. And that's what I'm spending a good chunk of my time doing with sales teams, which is especially important when you start talking about a downturn and the importance of a strong and effective sales process when markets are slowing down.
Certainly some timely information and input there, and thanks for that. Much appreciated. Now, with growing protectionism and borders turning people away due to the virus, etc., are global teams going to be a thing of the past, and what is the future of working globally as you see it?
So this is the hot topic. Certainly, it's a big question right now. Thinking about globalization, what, you know, people are writing its obituary, globalization is dead, all this stuff. I'm not seeing that at all. Yes, trade is slowing down. We're not shipping stuff as much. There's some trade talks of trade wars and more tariffs coming up. My focus is on the people side of things. And what I'm actually seeing is the opposite. Global communication and global work from a human standpoint is increasing. The fact that I'm having this crystal clear conversation with you, probably, I don't know where you're based, 10,000 or so miles away, for virtually nothing, is an example of the ease and ability to be able to pick up a phone or computer or device and talk to anybody over the world virtually for nothing. The Zoom, the growth with Zoom and Skype and all of these things here in 2020 is another example of that. In fact, internet traffic has increased by multiples just the last couple of months because everybody's online, everybody's communicating more. So while I think that globalization, the way we used to measure it, in terms of trading goods and services, goods certainly, that's going down. But there's this other aspect of communication, the exchange of ideas. That is what's going up. And we're not measuring that in the same way. And I think that it's important for the economists to start looking at this in different ways. But from an end user standpoint, which is more about what I care about, what does that mean for workers and companies? What I think that means is that we've got to be able to improve how we have these conversations, how we build teams. We are now all remote. We're all working in a distributed setting. And the global teams who have been doing this for the last few decades, they've been doing this for a while, so they get it. But now we've got to use that same skill set and do that and apply that everywhere. And that's where we get into these communication skills that I focus on. And some of the other concepts that are applicable, just as applicable for people 10,000 miles away as they are for working with people next door who now you're working virtually. So I think we're entering into a very different working world for many people who haven't been in this situation before. It's going to be interesting times for sure.
Well, Kyle, certainly appreciate your joining us here today, and it's been a very helpful and informative session, and really appreciate your expertise on the topic. Before you go, in conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, anything else you'd like to share with the audience before we close things down today?
You know, what I did is I wrote this book, The Accidental Business Nomad, which has just been released, and it's a survival guide for working across a shrinking planet. That's the subtitle, but that's really what it is. It's saying, look, you know, nobody knows where we're going. There's so many uncertainties out here, but we do know that we still need to communicate. We need to collaborate and partner with people. And that's going to take many different forms if it's going to be successful. So I wanted to write this book to have some fun with it, to share some goofy seagull stories and really, you know, help people get over that hump so that they're not making the same mistakes over and over again, especially in such a tough market, because you can't really afford to make the mistakes that were being made over the last few decades. This is we need to be a little bit run a tighter ship these days. So I'm hoping people pick up the book and enjoy it and learn something from it.
Mr. Hagerty, if folks wanted to tap into your expertise and to be in touch and also get more information on Leadership Nomad, where's the best place online to do so?
My website, leadershipnomad.com, is the best way to reach me, leadershipnomad.com. I have a newsletter. It goes out once a month, very straightforward, but it looks at all of these types of tips and learnings just once a month that goes out, and as well as other information about the book and types of training. So that would be the best way to do it.
And that is fantastic. Yet another fabulous resource. Again, folks, it is leadershipnomad.com. Mr. Hagerty, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me.
And you're certainly more than welcome anytime. We've been speaking with Mr. Kyle Hagerty, the Managing Director at Leadership Nomad, a training and consulting firm that helps teams improve how they communicate and grow into foreign markets, even during an economic downturn. And for all the details, once again, and for contact, visit leadershipnomad.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.